Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
A different kind of good. Sounds like a very, very sad sitcom plot. Somewhere out there, there's a plus-size sitcom called A Different Kind of Good that I am going to star in.
Hey, get me in too, bro. Let's be a package deal.
Dude, I got you EVP credit on this one. We're good
I'll
to go
that.
Right
yes,
now.
Let's go.
Ready to go.
That's all I need.
Fighting Irish Productions are in the building. Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Mike Golic Jr., Jordan Cornette hanging out with us today. Jhené Egwumike off fulfilling her obligations to her country. She's going and helping out with the polls in Houston. She's been doing such great work with More Than a Vote, LeBron James group, so many athletes helping out on this important day to make sure that people have access to voting, people can get to the polls safely and get what they need to do done. Go out there and be a part of the democratic process. So pretty cool to
really
see
cool.
for her, Jordan.
Really cool. No surprise. I mean, she does it all. She literally does it all.
She is every forget like a triple threat. She's all of the threats at once coming right at you. Jordan Cornette with us. Former Notre Dame basketball star sitting alongside me today. You can catch him on the huddle over at the ACC Network each and every weekend and on game day with his wife Shay, 1 to 5 Eastern on Sundays here on ESPN Radio. Great stuff all over the board, Jordan.
Thank you, my
and
friend.
We're excited to have you here today, as we always are. And I want to make this clear because you accused us last time. You've been around the show a bunch now. We brought you in at first on a Friday. We're out here twerking,
yeah.
throwing
hearing
it in
a lot about
all
the twerking,
around here. It was the twerk heard around the world that day.
Indeed
it was. And ever since then, we've brought you back on successively earlier days in the week. I just want you to know it wasn't because we're trying to get you away from the twerking. We want to make that happen again. This is just how it had to be today.
I think it's a sound decision, though. If that was part of the thinking process, given some of the feedback, I wouldn't be mad at you making that decision, but I appreciate you clarifying.
We will not be deterred, however. We will be involved in all this. And we'll be looking towards the NBA in just a couple of minutes here. They've got a deadline looming right now that should be high on the radar for every player that's getting ready to lace them up right now. A decision that looks pretty easy from where we sit, but we've got to factor everything into the equation. But we did have the NFL trade deadline come and go today, Jordan, and I'm amazed the more and more I look at it. We've talked so much today, not many major moves made at all. A lot of lower level moves made, 6-round draft picks traded off for players that'll help supplement rosters, but the Baltimore Ravens and the Green Bay Packers are both teams that surprised me by standing pat today. Is there a team of the two of those that you looked and saw and were more disappointed, didn't make a move to help their squad at the deadline?
I would be, well, that's a great question because both of them have so many question marks. To me, I'd look at the Packers probably more so just because of how badly that defense looked this past weekend. But then again, I look at the Ravens and say they even have more question marks. I mean, it's the defense for the Packers. As much as they're talking about like getting another wideout, I don't think that's what they needed. I look at the Ravens and think they need to fix something at the offensive line. They could use another tight end. They could use a wideout. So there is more questions. So maybe now I'm waffling, and I'd probably go back and say the Ravens because you could become markedly better with a fix of one of those three spots. And most likely, if you understand, like Deonor Orlowski was saying a few segments ago on the show here, they were great in the three tight end set. They captured lightning in a bottle with Lamar Jackson in that regard. So why not recreate that same formula if it's as simple as going to get a tight end out there like potentially your boy Kyle Rudolph, Diana Rossini was saying on this show as well. So I guess now as I talk my way through it, I'd say the Ravens. But again, I look at the Packers and say, you're asking Aaron Rodgers to go out there and score 40 points a game for you to win.
And I think, Jordan, that's why I look more at the Packers in this situation, because whether it was defense, and I had said it's Stephon Gilmore, that price went up for him. New England reportedly looking for a first-round pick. What team would that make sense for? One who believes they're in a Super Bowl window right now with a quarterback and Aaron Rodgers that we know. They drafted a quarterback in the first round. The clock has started right now on Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, and yet what they've seen in the early portion of this season has them thinking Super Bowl, or else they wouldn't have been making, according to Diana Rossini, over and calls in the name of Will Fuller in Houston to try and bring in a weapon. Like, where was that energy in the spring?
Yeah.
If you're talking about building through the draft the way this organization likes to do and bringing him in holistically, you had one of the best, deepest wide receiver classes of all time. And then was the time where you're like, you know what? Nah.
Because they didn't expect this then, obviously. They didn't expect to be here.
Clearly. And that's the shocking part.
To bet against Aaron Rodgers.
To bet against the development of your coach in his second year.
Who was there
LaFleur.
For that reason, because you knew he was capable of this, right? You knew he could get you to this place. So it goes against and contradicts everything that you believed Matt LaFleur could bring. I'm with you.
It is just shocking considering they were betting on our system, Matt LaFleur, the development, maximizing the weapons around here, and that's why we can draft a running back in the second round or whatever they got A.J. Dillon, and that's why we can do all of these things that aren't a weapon on the outside to complement Devontae Adams in the way that he wins in that offense.
Is it a belief in Alan Lazard?
You can tell me it's a belief in Alan Lazard, but Alan Lazard and the rest of these, whether it's Valdez, Scantling, anyone else in that offense, they work well within the system, but Devontae Adams is the only go out there and win one-on-one for me receiver in that offense. This was a draft where, again, if that's something you were going to prioritize, reacting late now and saying, nah, we'll go through the draft seems insane.
But again, I still think it's kind of towards the realm of insane to look at a team and say, our offense is Gucci. Like, our offense is getting it done. This is a very good offense. It's one of the league's best offenses. And then look at what your defense has been exposed as against a Vikings offense that has no threat at the quarterback position. Adam Thielen is not being utilized because Cousins can't faithfully deliver him the football. And a one-faceted offense. You knew what they were going to come out there and do with Dalvin Cook being healthy after being out the week before. You knew they were going to run the football. They told you what they were going to do, and they did it successfully all game long. To the point where you simply couldn't stop it, you couldn't get off the field, and that's why you lost. So to me, it's them clearly saying, we're okay with a bogus defense, and we're just going to try and ride this thing out. I think it's such a bogus approach. And yeah, you can have equal questions. I think both of these teams are propped up the same, both the Ravens and the Packers, where you say, I don't get it. It must have to do with the climate we're in currently. Or the Texans and Will Fuller were simply asking entirely too much, where it was asinine to go and get him.
Which seems wild to think about considering how little they gave DeAndre Hopkins up for. I laughed a little bit out loud, Jordan, earlier when we heard from Diana Rossini, who said the Texans now are operating almost the polar opposite they did of Bill O'Brien, where they're asking a lot for these players. I said, valuing their players at a level requisite with their skill set. I, for one, am shocked.
Overcompensation. That's really what this is. They now have to make up for the value or the misvalue of DeAndre Hopkins and now try to go make up for it and say, hey, teams out there, please save us. We need to ask for a ton for Will Fuller. He's overvalued at this price. We get it. But come on, help us out. And these teams are looking down at him and say, y'all love Bill O'Brien. Y'all made this bed. Y'all are going to sleep in it. And that's what's happened here, too, preventing this deal all the way to Green Bay.
They're very confused right now, looking at the Dolphins holding on to their first-round pick over there, who are potentially in line. If things don't work out with Tua Tagovailoa, maybe they go back to the well on all of this with the riches they've got and all of that, as we heard the Stu Gotts take apparently get support from insiders, which is always a dangerous prospect in this situation, Jordan. But coming up next, I do want to get to the trade deadline, obviously, is mostly going to be about what didn't happen. Coming up next, I want to hit on a little bit of what needs to happen in the NBA and needs to happen soon. We'll get to that and some midseason NFL awards next. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
About 10 minutes, we'll talk to a top Georgia Tech assistant, help get Election Day going off for all Division I athletes. We've seen this across the NCAA, athletes having off today to go out and be a part of this process, be a part of democracy. A coach who played a major role in that going to join us in about 10 minutes. Very excited because we do have some you know comments that we've heard from some coaches across college football. I've heard Dan Mullen say it. I've heard Dabo Swinney come out and say that while they support and have been a part of going out, making sure their players are registered to vote, making sure they're a part of this process, that they could have done without practice being canceled on this day. They felt like they could do it all at once. Jordan, it just seems like one of those spots where it's a lot easier to say nothing in a way college coaches usually do.
100%. And sometimes you can know something, think it sounds logical in your mind, but understand the moment and the importance of the moment and know that all the momentum, positive momentum pushing that way, I'm going to hold back on this minuscule, very niche part of the corner that impacts me for the betterment of this all-important movement to where I'm not going to speak on.
The great Herm Edwards once said, don't press send. That applies to verbals as well in all of this. So
good advice for the day moving forward through this evening for everybody out there who has jobs.
Very worthwhile. We're all trying to keep them at this point right now. And that could hold true right now, Jordan, what we've seen in the NBA. We'll get to our NFL midseason awards here in just a second through week eight. Got some hardware to hand out and got some young quarterbacks to fight about in all of this. But this one should be cut and dry, Jordan, to both of us. And I think that's why we're amazed that it's gotten this far right now. The NBA, on a conference call with league general managers on Monday, Commissioner Adam Silver told the top team basketball executives that, quote, time is running out on the possibility of starting the 2020-21 season prior to Christmas Day, potentially salvaging hundreds of millions of dollars in the process, sources tell ESPN. Discussions have been ongoing with the Players Association, but Jordan, we're getting towards dates where there are conversations like blowing up the CBA conversations, as the players have said they would prefer a start somewhere around 2 weeks later, closer to Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
And you're talking about $500 million to $1 billion over a couple weeks. So you can be at home and look, everybody understands the importance of family, the holidays, the world we're living in. We also understand the sacrifice these guys made to be in the bubble. So I get where they're coming from, but ultimately it just, there's no real excuse for this. Talking about a couple weeks, talking about a CBA potentially being blown up, which could impact everybody in that league to a degree, some way more than others. You're talking about a league that's trying to recoup loss and get back. And that's not just to benefit the suits. That's to benefit everybody. Keep in mind, there are teams out there that haven't played since March. Chicago Bulls. You think Jerry Reinsdorf's like cool with like, yeah, let's keep taking on loss and keep pushing back. There are, I'm looking at it, there's 10 teams that haven't played since March. There's some that have been off for several months and then got bounced early in that play-in. Four other teams that have been off for a couple months. We're talking about two-thirds of this league that have not been playing in a long amount of time. So why the LeBron James, the Lakers, some of these other teams naturally have these complaints, that's all fine and good, but they don't speak for this entire league. And this entire league, the majority is going to look at these numbers and go, $500 million to a billion, a CBA in jeopardy for 2 weeks? Yeah, we'll play before Christmas.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the reminder for everyone here, as we remember going back to the summer when Michelle Roberts, the executive director of the NBA Players Association, her and Chris Paul all talking to Adam Silver. These relationships that we heard were largely happening with just those because of the relationships involved. This one is going to be driven a lot more by the rest of the league. You mentioned we got so close to having the Delete Eight going on in Chicago, that group of teams that wanted so badly to get out there and do
something.
Which that
would look so pathetic, by the way. I'm glad it didn't happen.
Really, really glad that didn't get
worse than the NIT.
Ground.
The NIT are on steroids, really.
Yes. More, I was going to say, one just actually flush with cash going to the players in this instance. On that one. But I think all of that indicates, and it's a reminder that players' associations represent the entire body of NBA players, not just the highly paid ones, but the ones that are going out there, the ones that come up and end up on 10-day contracts, the ones that make up the meat of the bell curve in this that are going to need this.
Yeah, and I think you were saying it best before. Like, this is probably just posturing. Yep. A little bit of necessary bulking to show like, hey, understand the sacrifice we made, me, LeBron James, and some of these others that played very deep into this thing to ensure we could recoup some of that loss with the bubble and the commitment we made. We want you to know we're not very happy with doing this, and we're going to act like we're not going to do this, but they're going to do it.
It's all part of the negotiation.
They should have to.
Yes.
In all honesty, and I never make these arguments rarely, that everybody else in the world is having to deal with these things in a certain degree, but it applies here. It's not convenient for a lot of people who were sitting there out of work, not knowing what their careers were going to be during that time. They're now being spread very thin in their careers, but doing it so they can keep those things going. That is a pill that these athletes are going to have to swallow, much like the rest of the world. And I'm never going to be the one that says, look at all the money they make. It's so much different. Shame on them. That's not what I'm saying. It's
no,
just
not
there's
at all.
Going to be inconvenience that plays into getting this sport back to where you hoped it to be. And taking on $500 million to a billion loss and potentially having to renegotiate a CBA is going to impact a whole lot of players in that league, the ones you mentioned, in a way that you quite simply just don't want.
And with more challenges on the way, because they're going to be outside of the bubble now, living like everyone else. And one thing we've seen is the sports outside the bubble, that first month that you're dealing with is going to be a month that is ripe usually with issues you've got to find a way to navigate through. So not a lot of easy answers right now on that front. We feel like they probably should be coming there. But we are now at the point in the NFL season, switching gears, where we feel like we have some things that we do know. 8 weeks through a season that's certainly been up and down in its own right. So it's time to hand out some hardware, which means we need some music right now. Matt, like you got us There we go. Generic NFL game show type music. So, NFL midseason awards halfway through the year, Jordan. We'll start off. Let's start. You know what? I know where I want to end on this one. So let's start off with Defensive Player of the Year, because I think we're both unanimously in agreement on this.
It's a disruptor. It's got to be Aaron Donald with those Rams. And even the numbers that he has posted, some of the numbers that don't show up are simply because of scheme and how you got to prepare for a guy like that when you're facing up with him on the other side that allows the other guys to shine. He's been that guy.
He's been a monster, tied with Myles Garrett for the league lead in sacks right now, playing in the interior, knowing all the attention he is going to take, and he's a nightmare. And unfortunately, playing this record on repeat is always going to be a hit. So I'm with you on this one. Let's move along. Offensive Player of the Year, which is always interesting as we're talking about the eventual MVP that we'll get to, that it's not automatically the Offensive Player of the Year. But Michael Thomas was the offensive MVP for the league last year, so who you got, Jordan?
I wanted to shine light on a guy who's not my MVP, who's not even in the conversation, but is doing remarkable things for those Cardinals out there in Arizona. It's Kyler Murray, and you're starting to see what everybody thought this young man could become. He's becoming this Cliff Kingsbury offense, the ability to audible, to make things happen. He's must-see TV in a lot of ways, and it's why that team in that loaded division is doing some really special things and went head-to-head against Russell Wilson, we'll get to him later, and bested him. Kyler Murray and the combination of a guy who I know you like, DeAndre Hopkins, has been fun to watch.
Yeah, and DeAndre Hopkins is actually my pick. We talked so much about Kyler this offseason, dark horse MVP candidate potentially. I think that the Arizona Cardinals are going to be a playoff team in an expanded field that's already going to 7, that the league is now floating, might even, depending on how things shake out with the season, go to 8 teams from each side on this. So I go with DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, leads the league in receptions and yards right now, has gone over there and been every bit of the force multiplier that we expected him to be in this offense in year 2 for Cliff with Kyler. All right, Coach of the Year.
Coach of the Year. This one, there's a lot of guys who've done great jobs. I'm going with Coach Brian Flores of the Miami Dolphins. Maybe some recency bias, what we just saw this past week versus Jared Goff and those Rams, but every facet of the game came to the forefront. And oh, by the way, you're starting your new franchise quarterback in Tua Tagovailoa in that position, and he didn't have to do anything. Because this team is so well coached, because this defense from a defensive-minded guy in Flores has come in there and have their identity, this team is a team that goes out there and plays with a fight, and they're ahead of schedule in a rebuild. So to me, it's Coach Flores.
They are. I said last year, and I was not tongue-in-cheek, that I think Brian Flores should have gotten some Coach of the Year nods for what he did last season, laying the groundwork and going in there in a way, and we see this all the time with former Patriot assistants. I feel like too many of them try and walk into the building and think they're Bill Belichick already before they've gotten the receipts of their own to back it up, and Brian Flores has gone in and really put his hand in the pile with this team in a way that's exemplary. But I got to go with Mike Tomlin on the other side. What he's been done with the Steelers team, the way its offense has sort of reinvented itself, found a way in the post-Killer Bees era after Ben's injury to come out and be as effective, churn up clock the way they do right now, really impressive. And Mike Tomlin is ever the greatest quote at a press conference in the NFL.
Shout out to Chase Claypool getting things done.
Mapletron in the building. All right. MVP, you and I are both also unanimous on this one.
It's got to be Russ.
Got to be Russ.
Rustaculous. I mean, he's out there. He's just doing things. He's willing his team to wins. Never received an MVP vote. We keep hearing it all the time. It changes this year.
And so the last one that we have to get to now.
You go first, because Listen, this is a tough pill to swallow.
Rookie of the year in the NFL.
I think you know somebody.
I just look up and I think, you know what? What rookie this year has shocked, pop, and awed so many people, came in uncertain circumstances, and is now leading a team that we knew had a ton of talent coming into the year, but we did not expect this from Justin Herbert and the job that he has done coming out of Oregon. I didn't expect it. I evaluated this poorly coming out.
Who are his targets?
I mean, listen, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen are great receivers, and that's why we've seen the elevation in play, and that's why I believe right now he is the rookie of the
year. Did you at least spend time thinking about this before? Did you even at least consider who I'm about to throw at you here?
Yeah, quickly. Like, I love him. I love him like you do. Maybe not quite as much. I feel like this is the way I felt about Armageddon is the way that you feel about Joe Burrow.
That's a great comparison, because Joe Burrow is my rookie of the year. He's a little bit slow out of the gates, and they were using him a lot. He's throwing the football as much as anybody in the NFL, and he's figuring out with a franchise that is in the midst of a rebuild. No offensive line. What's he do this past week? 5 new offensive linemen protecting him, and he goes out there and beats a Titans team that many believe can go out there and win the Super Bowl. And he did it with his arm. This is a guy that goes out there and is the difference in wins and in competitive losses for this team. The whole offensive game plan is, Joe Burrow, go out there and deliver. And he doesn't have the established targets around him quite yet. Some of them figuring it out much like he is as they go. T. Higgins from 9 to 85. From Joe Burrow to T. Higgins reminds me a lot of an old Carson Palmer to Ocho Cinco. It gets a whole lot of Cincinnati fans excited. I love the swagger. I love the confidence. And he feels like he is the future of this NFL.
There we go. There are your NFL midseason awards. All of the Cincinnati nostalgia out here in full display to be had right now. Joe Burrow, I have a feeling that's going to be a debate and the debate for that award when we get to season's end at the rate that they're going. But coming up next, I want to talk to a coach. We're excited to talk to a coach who helped spearhead an effort to get a rarity. The NCAA to do something right. We'll get to that next. It's Chenay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chenay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Before this show's over, I'm going to get an answer to an important question. How many side pieces can one person juggle?
For real.
Before they start to lose focus on the main thing?
That hits home.
Does?
I've been labeled a Chenay side piece. And I wore that with the badge of honor when I left here, despite being happily married. Luckily, Shay wasn't listening, so I was able to sweep it under the rug, but I felt pretty cool. And I'm listening a few days later, you're doing one of your college football games on a Thursday, and a guy that we all love, Jason Fitz, the James Brown of the operation, hardest working man in showbiz, she references him as a side piece. And then I'm wondering, like, me as a side piece, but it goes back to you.
Oh, yeah.
How do you feel about all this?
Listen, I was cool with it at first. I understood where I stood in the pecking order, but now it's starting to get out of hand. So we will get to the bottom of that mystery here. It's Chenay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jordan Cornette in today for Chenay. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And that's where we head to now as we're joined by associate head coach at Georgia Tech for the men's basketball side, Eric Reveno, with us now. And coach, we appreciate the time today. It is election day right now. We have gotten to the point that so many have been building to during the course of this offseason where we've seen renewed focus on the effort. And you were a part of it. The hashtag that went out, all vote, no play, was something that you were on the initial push for. Can you just take us back to that time of what went into your desire to create what we've seen now, the NCAA giving athletes off on this day to make sure they can go out and vote?
Well, thanks for having me. No, it's great to talk about it. Back on June 1st, we had a Zoom call with our team, and it was the there's social unrest, protests in Atlanta, helicopters flying over my house, and I'm on a Zoom call with the team. Coach Pastner does a great job pulling everyone together, head coach Pastner, and the guys are talking, and a lot of heavy stuff, heavy conversation. I'm coming up on my 25th year in coaching, and it's just a heavy time. And we're all talking, and the players are talking about what should we do, what can we do. And Malachi Rice, the senior on our team, said, you know, I understand why guys want to protest, but are we voting? Like, are guys voting? And it just hit me like a ton of bricks, because as a guy, a veteran coach, I woke up the next day and asked myself, what have I done to help these guys learn this civic responsibility? How many times have I said to a guy, when I was a coach at Stanford, head coach at University of Portland, here for 5 years, great schools. How many times did I say, guys, are you registered? Hey, registration deadline tomorrow. Hey, let's get your absentee ballot. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's talk about it. What do you want to do? Let's have a speaker. And I had looked myself in the mirror and said, I hadn't done enough, hadn't done much at all. Or looked around college athletics. I realized we weren't doing that. And we're all nonprofit schools, and we tax deductible, and part of the fabric of the NCAA and college athletics, powerful thing. And I felt like we needed to do more. And I took that call to action by Malachi and said, we need to do more. And actually on the call, I promised the guys, I will do better. I will do more. And I was emotional about it. And it was a commitment that I would do more to help them. Because I felt passionate about it, and I still am. And I'm excited that from that grew the all vote, no play, and the Georgia Tech got behind it like within hours. It was unbelievable. And then next thing you know, the Division I SAC took it and ran with it this summer, the Student Athlete Advisory Committee. And here we are. So it's great.
Coach, there's so many ways we could take it here, and obviously there's time constraints, but I'm curious,
I get going on this stuff.
No, don't at all. You painted the picture for us, and on a day like today, your efforts are paying off, and that's what leads me to the question How many results are you seeing? Are all your guys getting out there and doing this? What reports are you hearing from other programs? Because you've gotten to this point of the awareness. You've done all the work to get here. Is the action accompanying the effort that we've seen?
Yes, and it's going to be every year. The Student Advisory Committee made this day off, and a lot of it has been brought up by people that, you know, a lot of it vote absentee. It, for us at the Georgia Tech, a lot of our guys are voted early, and they voted locally in Georgia. We had a few guys vote today, and I talked to a football player that was driving 2 hours to vote in Georgia. I talked to another female softball player who was flying to Florida because she didn't get her absentee ballot. And the thing that the impact it has for us is we make our civic engagement calendars as athletic departments every year. Now we're going to have this date penciled in, and we can start building some programming around it to take notice. It can be a holiday. It can be a speaker. It can be voting. It can be volunteering. Today at Georgia Tech, we were volunteering outside our location in our arena. The Camus Pavilion was a vote polling site, and we were volunteering outside and handing out donuts and water and welcoming people. And that was it. So I think it's having the impact. And for me, it's about sustaining it now. It's not just November 3rd today is not a finish line, but a mile marker. We'll keep it going. And so, and forgive me for going on this, but when there's another young head coach like I was who's trying to win games and he's competing, that this will be in the calendar to remind him to take pause and make sure that we're engaging these young voters. And so we can get voter participation of this age group up, and we get those, they become lifetime voters, and it helps America. It's nonpartisan. It's about engagement.
Talking to Eric Reveneau with us here, associate head coach of Georgia Tech men's basketball, and Shanahan Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., and Jordan Cornette here today. And coach, you mentioned that getting it out in front so coaches and everyone are aware. There have been some who have questioned the need for the day off. We've seen from Dan Mullen, Clemson's Dabo Swinney said, this is a quote, "I didn't really understand the day off thing. Most of our guys have already been voting. There will be a few more who go here, but certainly have always had the time to get that done." And they've been a part of getting athletes out and getting engaged. But what do you say to coaches who have questioned maybe having the day fully off in addition to all of the other efforts?
You know, to the coach who's my age, mid-50s, been at this a little bit, and he's been doing this his whole career. He's been engaging student athletes. He's been making sure they're registered, helping them register, helping them request their absentee vote, ballot, first-time voters. To the coach who's been doing it every year, this holiday wasn't necessary. But for the rest of us and the vast overwhelming of coaches in the United States and athletic departments, the reason everyone got behind it is because they looked in the mirror and said, we're not doing enough. And so there's a few coaches out there. So the coach, I would ask those coaches that are against it, like, coach, have you been doing this every year? Are you not having to change what you're doing in your focus? Is this not a new focus for you? And if they say, no, it's not, I've been doing it, and I've talked to a couple, then I would say, well, you don't need this rule. And for me, I initially thought there should be a waiver, that a coach could fill out a waiver, really simple, not a big NCAA deal. I don't like promoting waivers, but, you know, but like it could be a waiver. So a volleyball coach who plays on Wednesday could practice on Tuesday if they talk about how they're going to get their voting done. The Division I Student Athlete Advisory Committee didn't like that. They ran with it and made their own. They proposed the rule that was approved by Division I Council in September, and there wasn't a lot of debate on it. This is the first legislation the Division I Student Athlete Advisory Committee has promoted for legislation, and it got unanimously approved. So I thought there could be a waiver process, and maybe we could introduce it at some point. But I really think that you know, we've had our chance. Guys like me have had our chance, and we need this, to use their phrase, guardrail, to make sure that we do what we're supposed to be doing.
It's incredible work, coach, and like you said, it is work that is not done and will continue to be ongoing. We appreciate the time and we appreciate your efforts. Thanks for sharing with us.
Yeah, great talking to you guys. I appreciate it. Thank you.
That's Georgia Tech Associate Head Coach Eric Reveneau with us here on Chinay and Golic Jr. Incredible work on an incredibly important day, and great to hear the athletes having a hand and a voice in that process. Coming up next, we will switch gears and talk about my co-host having too many side pieces on air. That's next. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It has been a day around here. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jordan Cornett hanging out with us today. You can catch him again over in the huddle on the ACC Network every weekend. Game day. I've gotten that game right day. All show and decided to botch it now, which is great, with his wife, Shabe Cornett. 1 to 5 on Sundays on ESPN Radio.
When we leave, it's dark, so game night kind of works, but that's not the name of the show.
Not the name of the show. Not gonna remind people to go there and watch the show on Sunday, which is the point, but I digress.
Yes.
We are sitting here hanging out. It's a busy day around for a lot of people. Everyone's gone out and taken their part in democracy here. Everyone, be gentle with yourselves tonight. Drink a lot of water. Take time if you need it. Like, it's a lot of a day right
be
now.
Be gentle
so.
With yourselves tonight. It's an interesting...
It's probably a bad way to put it, huh?
Feels like there's some innuendo there. I don't know. Be gentle with yourselves
light
tonight.
A candle. Set the mood. I'm just saying. We can explore the space.
I've heard a lot of advice on, like, election day. But when talking about the polls, that's a very interesting play while talking about the polls in the election.
Oh, we need to get so far away from this. It's time to keep that same energy. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
And speaking of the polls.
Be gentle.
Be gentle. Someone who is out here getting the work done today, though, we do have to give a shout
Let's
out.
Let's talk about a queen.
A special shout out to our very own, the queen herself.
Yes.
Janae Agumake. I saw her sister NECA as well. Out here helping out with the polls back in their hometown of Houston, Texas. Janae's done so much work with More Than a Vote, with LeBron James, with so many of these great names in athletics that have come together around this cause of making sure that people got out, got registered, voted, could do so safely, could find access in that way. So Janae is off today because she is doing far more important work, and we certainly want to celebrate that.
I feel kind of weird that I brag on somebody that I know professionally and we become friends to a degree. But we don't go all the way back, and yet I still love bragging about Janae because we're friends, I know her, and she does at every turn stuff that you have to take a step back and go, wow, what a special human being, and understanding the power of her platform and using it properly. And that's what I love to see. Somebody who's saying, hey, I'm going to go out there and do, not only just say, follow me to the good place. And that's what she's doing as always. Shout out to Janae.
Absolutely.
You're very lucky to be working somebody like that.
Truly. Count myself lucky every day. Like, no jokes aside in that one. So really proud of Janae. Really excited for her and NECA and the work that they're doing on that. And so now that we've gotten all that nice stuff out of the way.
Go in.
All right.
Go in, Mike.
So Jordan Cornett is kind enough and been kind enough to come out and help us around here, be a friend of the show, be a part of the show. And we love having you.
Thanks,
and Janae told you when you were in here one time, you're my side piece on the show. And it made you feel good.
Made me feel really good. Made me feel good to be wanted, because sometimes my wife can do without me. I felt great.
And then we found out Jason Fitz came in here. You can catch right after us here, co-host of Spain and Fitz on ESPN Radio.
That's two guys.
Two guys that she looked right into his face and said, Jason, you're like my side piece here too.
He felt good.
Felt great. Felt loved. And so now all of a sudden I'm starting to look around like, Devin, has Janae called you her side piece?
No, I don't think so.
It's amazing.
I think Matlack has been called maybe once or twice.
I feel like Matlack's gotten called a side piece before.
Hey, this is my first time working the show.
It's amazing.
Just out of third.
I mean, where does the bar even lie in all this?
Are you special in this whole thing?
I'm starting to feel like that by being the main piece, I'm actually lesser than in this.
I sense great chemistry when you two work together, but is that prepackaged and superficial stuff?
Man, you wonder if we're really getting to the heart of all this. We're really getting down to the core if this relationship is about more than just what we do from 4 to 7 here, if this friendship and bond is real.
You're a plug-and-play guy.
You know what?
Like, pull you out, play anybody. Plug anybody in and play.
I appreciate you coming in and enlightening me to this truth. I appreciate you hanging out with us, Jordan.
It's not that. You know it. You guys are great.
Always great, brother, man. We'll try and figure this out. We look forward to Janae getting back here tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.